Master Matthew Shardlake!
They came for me at dawn, as these people often do. There was a constable, and by his side, two men with clubs.
Matthew Shardlake, I'm ordered by the Privy Council to arrest you in a charge of heresy. You are to be lodged in the tower until your appearance before them tomorrow. I am also ordered to search your house for forbidden books.
We entered the tower by the main gate. The ground seemed to sway under my feet as they led me across the inner courtyard. I was taken downstairs along stone-flagged corridors to the dark underground chambers. They shoved me in a damp, stinking cell. I realized it was the one which had held Anne Askew. I woke several times in the night, tormented by fleas and lice. I worried, too, what the morning would bring. I knew my life could end.
Matthew Shardlake, you are charged with heresy, denial of the real presence of the body and blood of Christ in the Mass, under the Act of 1539.
They sat in a long, sombre row behind a table covered with green velvet. Six members of the Privy Council, the supreme body answerable to the King for the administration of the realm, all powerful in the land, all in the finest robes, gold chains and jewelled caps. Among them, Sir Richard Rich, and at their centre, Sir William Paget, the Queen's Secretary of State, his square face pale above his long, dark beard.
What do you say?
I am no heretic.
I understand you were recently sworn to the Queen's Learned Council.
I was. Temporarily, to investigate the theft of a most precious ring from the Queen's chambers.
Have you found it?
I have not, so I have resigned my position.
There have been several sudden vacancies in the Queen's household. Two senior guards, a locksmith, and Master Cecil, who now serves the Earl of Hertford. It's most mysterious.
If I may intervene.
Sir Richard...
These domestic matters are no part of the accusations. Master Shardlake has advised the Queen on legal matters for several years.
I realized with relief that Rich's own involvement in my investigations meant it was in his interests to help me. But someone had dragged me here to see me condemned.
Have you possessed books forbidden under the King's proclamation?
I have.
Yet you did not hand any in. You were seen burning books in your garden.
I destroyed them before the amnesty expired.
Burning books, rather than handing them in, surely indicates reluctance to draw your opinions to the attention of the authorities.
With respect, that is pure supposition
and not truly reliable as evidence.
If I needed a lesson in law, Sir Richard, I would ask. Bring in Mistress Slanning.
Isabel Slanning was brought to stand before this court of powerful men. I remembered her. I represented her in a dispute over a will some time back. She was a strange, small woman, prone to angry outbursts at the least provocation. She didn't look at me.
You say, Mistress Slanning, you heard Sergeant Shardlake in conversation deny the real presence in the Mass.
I did.
That is a lie.
Silence, Shardlake. Mistress Slanning.
He said it. The
what? Mr. Slanning?
Oh, you said it.
No, you said the H. Would you tell the Privy Council what H stands for?
Shardlake.
We should hear her out.
What does H stand for, Mistress
you
Slanning?
You would deny the presence.
You know this. How?
I can see and I can sense.
What can you see and sense? Please tell me. Tell us all.
I won't explain to you, Crookback.
Why not?
God smite your misshapen form. Hunchback heretic.
So you know by looking at me that I'm a heretic. God help you, Mistress Slanning.
This woman is wasting our time. She is disposed to prejudice.
Before God, Shardlake, have you denied the real presence?
I have not. Now, this woman is no witness at all. She is vexatious and vicious and, above all, a liar.
Satan's tongue!
Take her out of here!
Devil spawn! Quick back!
I was returned to the cell, but had not been there minutes when Sir Richard Rich appeared.
You survived, Shardlake, with my help.
Did you press for the matter to be brought before the council?
No.
Someone put her up to it.
It could have been anyone. Knives are sharpened every day.
Well, I am grateful you spoke up for me.
Don't thank me, Crookback. I would gladly see you burn and watch with pleasure. But remember that I helped you this day. You are free to go.
There was only one person who could have seen me burning books in my garden. My new steward these past few months, Martin Brockett.
You wanted to see me, sir?
I was questioned this morning at the Privy Council about my burning of books. It does not surprise you.
Sir,
You saw me. Who did you tell? Who did you betray me to? And why? I know it was you, and I want answers, Martin.
My son is in jail. I fear he might die for lack of food in that place if I did not send him money.
I pay you well.
One day outside here, a man accosted me. A gentleman. He said he could help me if I reported your movements.
To spy on me.
Especially if you had contact with the Queen's household, or any radical reformers. Mm. I'm sorry, Master.
Where did you meet him to report?
A house. Barely furnished. At Smithfield.
Exactly where?
In a lane off Griffin Street. There's a blue door and a Tudor rose above the porch.
This man, what's his name?
He said it was Crabtree.
Is he scarred about the face?
Yes, Master. His ear is cut.
His name is Stice. You meet him always at the house?
Yes. I leave a message at the tavern. I will leave your employment now, Master.
You won't be going anywhere. And if you attempt to go before I say, I will make sure you never work again.
I will come with you, sir.
Thanks, Jack. I'll get my steward to take a message to Stice once Lord Parr gives us a couple of men. It's our last hope of finding the lamentation.
Whoever holds it is surely set to reveal it to the king.
And we must stop it.
If it's Rich and him playing a double game, it wouldn't surprise me.
Rich will do anything to anybody, and people like me and you are the pawns, useful in the game, but dispensable.
And when it's over, we're abandoned. And they return to their vomit worse than ever they were.
It was a public holiday, and great crowds gathered on the Thames to watch the king welcome the French Admiral Danbo. At Hampton Court, a grand welcoming party was held on the wide lawn for the French. Fine wine was served to invited guests in front of temporary banqueting houses skillfully painted to look like brickwork, with the flags of England and France flying from above.
Sergeant Shardlake.
My Lord Parr.
I was sorry to hear of your appearance before the Privy Council. Neither the Queen nor I knew that was to happen.
It is done, my Lord. Did you receive my note about Stice?
I did.
We must act against him. If you could spare me a couple of men, I would be grateful.
Now that is not possible. Things have changed, Master Shardlake. Charles Stice must be left alone.
But why?
This is confidential. I've only just had a direct approach from Sir Richard Rich. He's in bad odour at court for several reasons. His speaking up for you at the Privy Council did not help. But he has offered to help the Seymours and the Parrs against Bishop Gardiner. He has changed sides, following the wind again.
The Queen will work with Rich now.
She will.
But she loathes him.
She will work with him for the sake of the Parr family and the cause of reform. Rich is on the Privy Council. He is important. The King respects his skills, if not the man, as do I.
But he may have information about the lamentation.
I do not believe he ever had the book.
Since he is now your ally, have you asked him?
What?
Have you asked him about the lamentation?
Our agreement Shardlake, involves my drawing a veil over all Rich's activities this spring and summer.
But that is not right, my lord.
Do not presume to tell me what is right. Ever. God's death, man, these are the necessities of politics. Stay out. Now, good day to you.
My steward, Martin Brockett, had confessed to spying on me and delivering his reports to Stice in a house just off Griffin Street. Barak and I walked there through the nighttime streets, stopping when we came in sight of the building. It had a blue door and a Tudor rose on the arch. Stice could be playing a double game, or his master, Sir Richard Rich, but something told me the stakes were bigger.
Are you all right, sir?
Yes, I'm ready. I don't know where this leads, but I think Rich has been outmaneuvered. And Stice has a greater master.
One with power, who orders murder.
And has the lamentation. Rush Stice as soon as he opens the door, right?
Right. You have your knife ready?
Yes. Let's go.
It's me, Martin Brockett.
He's coming.
Now!
Stice staggered back, hand reaching to the sword at his waist.
Got you!
Barak had his blade pointed at Stice's body. But at the edge of my vision, I saw rapid movement. Two more men, two more swords. I lunged forward with my knife, but one of them elbowed me in the face and I fell back against the wall. I saw Barak fend off a sword blow from the other man, and then it happened. With all his might, Stice slashed down into Barak's sword arm, cutting into his wrist. Barak's severed hand, still holding his sword, hit the ground. Barak's legs gave way, and he crashed to the floor. He lay there, unmoving, blood pumping all ways. I rushed Stice, slashing at his face, but he fended me off and raised his sword to my throat, pinning me back against the wall. It was over.
Don't struggle, bent back, or you'll die. Bind his hands. We'll take him to Whitehall.
Barak, can you hear me? Barak!
Let's go, Crookback.
Jack! Jack!
You, make a tourniquet. Stop him bleeding here. We could dump him in an alleyway.